Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, a weekly program for teens, parents, educators, and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that shape, challenge, and sometimes disrupt our daily life. 411 Teen, where conversation matters. Joining 411 Teen, I welcome the Gen Z Lens panel, students from McClay High School. Beginning with the producers, please introduce yourselves.
Hi, my name is Simon, and I am a freshman at McClay, and I play classical guitar.
Hi, my name is Arnav. I'm also a freshman at McClay, and I play the viola and I play tennis.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Wesley. I'm a freshman at McClay as well, and I play soccer and I play the cello.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Sandy. I'm a sophomore at Cathedral, and I like painting and singing.
Hi, my name is Zeus. I'm a freshman at McClay. I play baseball and I play piano.
Well, welcome to all of you. Look forward to talking with you. And Sandy, welcome. You're in Mississippi?
Yes.
Okay, welcome to 411 Team. Today, Gen Z Lens Team take on power, fairness, and accountability, breaking down the power of presidential pardons, celebrity influence, and second chances, and public trust. Young voices unpack the issues shaping today's world. The U.S. Constitution gives the president the authority to grant pardons for federal crimes. It's one of the broadest and least restricted powers in American government. Recently, President Trump issued pardons to several NFL players, some convicted in drug and financial crimes. At the same time, he pardoned more than 1,500 people connected to the January 6th Capitol riot. So what does a pardon actually mean? Is it mercy, justice, reform, political messaging? And how do young folks interpret these decisions? Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution of the U.S. defines presidential pardons as this: they apply only to federal crimes, can be issued before or after conviction, cannot overturn state crimes, and cannot erase impeachment. All right, you all, tell me about these pardons. Why do you think the founders gave presidents this power in the first place?
I think that the writers of the Constitution gave presidents this power to give them the power to reverse mistakes done by the Justice Department. So if a president sees a mistake or an injustice being served, then they can use it to reverse it and make it fair.
Okay. All right. I want to hear from you all.
I think because for a few reasons. Because A, to show mercy, the law can be strict and sometimes punishments are a little too harsh. But a pardon lets the president show compassion for when justice is needed.
Okay.
Or to calm down conflicts. After major conflicts like rebellions or something else, pardons can help a country move forward instead of staying divided.
Something that I think pardons have evolved into more recently are kind of just using them for political benefit, freeing people that have been jailed for crimes, but they're in a specific political party. And I feel like that really isn't the intention of a pardon. It doesn't matter which side is pardoning, but it just isn't really the intention of it. It's meant to pardon people who, are technically, who are innocent, but were done wrong by the justice system.
Okay. Any other comments there? Well, do you think there should be limits on pardons? Where do you sit on that? Should we have limits on pardons? And if so, what type of limits should we have?
I think one of the limits should be no mass pardons, because when mass pardons happen, a lot of times it's not. I think pardons should be done very case to case, person to person, and not pardoning a whole group of people, because I think a lot of things could go wrong with this. And pardons is a long process that has a lot of steps. And when you want to pardon a big group of people, I think that process sometimes isn't taken fully.
Okay. All right.
I think there should be pardons, especially because like no self-pardons. A president should not be pardon themselves just because of their president.
Okay. I'd like to hear from the rest of you. Where do you sit? What do you think?
I would say, like, specifically with the January 6th stuff, they pardoned, I mean, President Trump pardoned a lot of people there, and I agree with what Simon's saying, like, that was a lot, and some of the people in that, like, situation did worse things than other people, but I think it should be specific to the person, like Simon had said.
Okay. All right. We're getting there. Other comments, other thoughts on this? Are there other conditions under which one should be pardoned? Should they be limited? Or can he just pardon at his will?
I don't think that he should be pardoned at his will, because it shows a bit of dictatorship-like form of government. And if he pardons at his own will and doesn't have any barriers, he's the only one who's making this decision. There are no checks and balances from other branches. And I just don't think that he should be the only one making the decision on pardoning.
Another comment? Do you think that the pardon power was meant to be used frequently or rarely?
I think it was meant to be used, like, rarely. So for cases in which somebody, you know, did something that, at least to the president's view, they did something that wasn't worthy of a punishment, wasn't worthy of a federal charge, it was meant just to be used for that, right? As as Simon said, and I think like a few others, on a case to case basis, just people who might have committed something, and in the president's eyes, that, you know, they shouldn't have been charged for it, right? Like things like maybe like they were like an accomplice to something, but they didn't really do it themselves.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
And like just actually, I think a couple of us in this call, we actually did something called teen court. And in it, you'll see a lot of people who didn't really commit the crimes. Like they might have just been standing in the back, and they also got kind of charged with the crime too. It's an actual crime kind of thing.
Crime by a charged by association, just being
exactly.
There.
So I think that's kind of what this allowance for the president, this right for the president, that's what it was meant for, not really to more like rare cases or kind of case by case, not exactly like a I want to free all these people who were part of this specific event kind of thing, more like he wasn't really part of that, and I think he should be free.
I to add on to what Arnav was saying is he touched on the part where maybe a president thinks that someone shouldn't have been charged with that crime. There's another part where maybe the president sees that a person who has committed the crime has grown in jail, has like done some good things, like write books or grown as a person. And the justice system doesn't always take that into account. And the president might grant a pardon for that because he sees that this person has grown and learned from their mistakes and become a whole new person.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it should be used rarely because I believe in second chances, but not everyone deserves that second chance.
Well, If a president can pardon allies or supporters, does that create a conflict of interest?
Yeah, I think it definitely does create a conflict of interest because it can like create bias for a president in choosing pardons. And I think that, yeah.
Or family members, you know, too. As I said allies and supporters, but I think about it. You know, you can also pardon family members, and that certainly has happened, too.
We've seen that with Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. He pardoned his son, Hunter Biden.
Yes.
And I think he was okay by doing that because it would have been kind of betraying his family if he didn't do that. And if it was like a very, very serious crime, like murder or something, I don't think he would have pardoned his son. But he loves his son, and I think it does create bias and makes them want to pardon them.
Yeah. Okay. Other comments on pardons and conflict of interest? How do you feel about that? I haven't heard from everyone.
I feel like it definitely should be like a less biased situation. Like it's a pretty big deal when the president pardons somebody, and I feel like it's kind of become something that's not like a really big thing anymore because mm-hmm. it's just happened so like often. But I feel like it should be taken into more consideration and maybe have some more like checks and balances, like Simon said. But I mean, in the end, it's a presidential power, so it's up to the president to decide if he pardons somebody or not.
Okay, all right. Well, I do have the pardons that were conducted, let's see, for Bush, Obama, Trump, and Biden. When we come back, we're going to take a brief break right now. But when we come back, I'll share with you the number of pardons. You're tuned in to 411 Team. This is the Gen Z Lens team, and we are looking at presidential pardons. Just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this edition is the Gen Z Lens, and we are looking at presidential pardons. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I want to share with you all the pardons or clemency that presidents have issued since 2001. I guess George W. Bush, he had a tenure from 2001 to 2009. Had 200 pardons or clemency. Barack Obama, tenure 2009 to 2017, had 1,927 pardons or clemencies. Donald Trump, who was in from 2017 to 2021, and then 2025 to present, had this is up to September, 1,700 pardons. Joe Biden, 2021 to 2025, 4,244 pardons. Just for your information. Do you feel receive different treatment in the justice system? Might remind you, that Mel Gibson was up for a pardon. I think that was with Trump, and they refused it, and I think the judge just stepped down, or the official stepped down that worked with the pardon, because she came under a lot of pressure and decided, I can't handle this. So, but do you think that if you're famous, that you should get differential treatment in the justice system.
I don't think that this should be the case. However, I think it does play a big part currently, because more famous people will have will be seen more in the news, and I think the president will see this case more and be more aware that this like person wants a pardon, and so it increases the likelihood of them getting a pardon. However, I do think that everyone should be treated in the same way, depending, like, I don't think that how famous you are should matter when it comes to pardons, because if a famous person commits a murder in the same way a non-famous person commits a murder, I don't think that they should be like treated differently, you know, because of this famousness.
I would say, like Simon said, everyone, like, if you're more famous, you are going to get more special treatment, but that's not the way it should be. Like, people with money can buy better lawyers, but, like, shouldn't be that the judge will rule a better way for the person because of their famousness.
Okay.
I think courts already go out of their way to make sure the jury doesn't have any relation to the person that's being charged. So I feel like it should be the same way with, I mean, how the case is handled. It shouldn't be biased in any way.
Okay. And
I think it just gets harder when the people are more famous. Like, the more famous they are, the more bias they're going to have because people know them better.
Yeah, I think famous and like the richer people definitely have advantage over the common people, because sometimes like people like idolize them, and with all this power comes a lot of responsibility, and some decide to use this like for corruption and stuff.
Okay. I think the whole bias thing actually kind of goes down kind of to like not even just like, you know, like a county level worth of crimes, because if you think about it, right? People who have money and, you know, have resources, they can easily bail themselves out of jail and, you know, get like a good lawyer who can make better decisions for them. They, you know, spend more time on their case. And, you know, in the meantime, they don't have to be sitting in jail, right? But on the other side, you have people who, you know, might not have as much money and they can't even get out of, you know, jail. They can't get any lawyer but a public defender, which, although it is representation, the problem with most public defenders is that they have like too many cases on their hands
exactly.
at one time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it's not just like a, like, you know, at the top, you know federal crimes, like high profile crimes, because like not everybody you see in the news that committed a crime is famous, right? Not everybody, you know what I'm saying? But when we're talking about like high profile crimes, you know, definitely, you know, it's the same way that it's a little bit more, it's unfair at the bottom, you know, just at a county level, just for like small crimes such as substance abuse. It carries over to the top too. And, you know, that definitely like makes an impact. It definitely like proves that there's a little bit of bias in it. And I think that definitely there could be more done just kind of at, you know, for people who, you know, might not have enough money to get representation, or people that, you know, like, you know, because of political parties, it's like, you know, being biased, you know, I feel like there could be more to be done about that. I'm saying not just like the national scale with pardons, but also on like the county scale. I know that's not really kind of the question, but
I want to hear your opinions and where you're sitting, because I think you're raising some you know, very relevant and important issues.
I think to add on to what Arnolf said, with like famous people, it rises a problem of public pressures on a president to pardon people. And so if someone is like an idol to a large group of Americans, those people could apply pressure to a president and pressure the president into pardoning these famous people more And I think public pressures do play a big role in pardons.
Okay. Yeah, okay. All right. So what I hear you saying is, the average citizen, with the same conviction and they request a pardon, they may not be as likely to receive one if they don't have the money. Or if they aren't famous now, you're not saying you agree with it, but that is just the reality of the situation. Did I paraphrase that correctly?
Yeah, I
Okay,
think.
all right. Now, what about past achievement? And when I say past achievement, I mean should past achievement like sports success matter when considering forgiveness or, receiving an Emmy or a Grammy or an Oscar. If you have that kind of recognition, should we take that into consideration when they
I don't
say
think.
they, when, well, when they're asking for forgiveness?
I don't think that they it, this should be taken into consideration, because it doesn't really have anything to do with the crime. Maybe it should be taken a bit into consideration for like the person in establishing like maybe. Being such a like a successful person with like these awards, maybe can show that this person is like a committed person, and maybe a mistake should be forgived because they've done so much good to this world, and more good than bad. Yeah.
Well, you tapped into something that I was definitely going to ask you, because what about that person who, has been, and you all have touched on this, who's been a stellar inmate who really has marched, the straight and narrow, and has tried to at least cleaning their lives up. What are the conditions, I guess, for forgiveness? What kind of conditions should we set up in addition to that?
I think the severity of the crime is one of the biggest conditions. Because, I mean, if it's like a tax evasion, that's a less serious and dangerous crime than like a murder could be, you know? And if the person has done like a lot and deserves forgiveness, it's easier to deserve forgiveness for like tax evasion than it is to for murder.
And I don't know if they can even be pardoned for murder. I'm
That's
not.
a
Murder, I think, is like depending on where you are, it can be charged as like a state crime. So that might not
If it's a
qualify as.
state crime, then
They can't be
they
pardoned.
can't be pardoned. It has to be a federal crime, okay? First of all. So that's one of the conditions for a pardon, that it has to be a federal crime, okay? Okay. Now, when we're looking at these pardons, there's some other variables, other conditions that I think we need to consider. Should a pardon be granted on redemption? And a redemption, this person has really redeemed their lives. They are remorseful. They've again tried to march the straight and narrow. They have not been a problem while they have been incarcerated, or privilege. So, is there redemption or is there a privilege value in there?
Yeah, so I think redemption is a very big part in pardoning, and I think a lot of pardons or reduce sentencings. I think that redemption plays a big part of it, because if someone has done good things while incarcerated, it further motivates a president to pardon them or reduce their sentence.
What about remorse? Do they feel bad? They regret what they've done? Are they sorry? Should that play?
Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Thank you. So the thing is that, yeah, remorse and like just being kind of apologetic about it, knowing that you did something wrong, that's like a big part of it, obviously, right? But also there's certain crimes that I feel like, you know, you shouldn't really be pardoned for. Also, a lot of the times with the way that we were just talking about how a lot of these pardons are political based, you know, some of the like how we don't even know if they're like the president doesn't really seem. And it's not just like the current administration. Like, obviously, do we know if like Hunter Biden, you know, learned his lesson or anything? Like, we don't know that. Like, he just pardoned him because he was about to leave and he wanted to get him out before, you know, so nothing really, backlash came, because either way, Trump is going into office, right? But like, that's the thing with a lot of these presidential pardons. They're just like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I know him. He's part of my political party. He's related to me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'll just go ahead and do that. There's no really, a lot of the time, because that's what pardons are being used for now, it doesn't apply anymore. And I mean, even like, even with the remorse thing, like, you know, I think a few months ago, I heard Ghislaine Maxwell even asked Trump for a pardon, which is like, at that point, is there really any remorse being shed at all? Because, I mean, I don't think a crime like that should ever let, you know, I don't think she should ever be let out of prison, right? So, you know, there's like, it technically, yeah, I think they should be come into consideration. But with the way that pardons are being used, it doesn't seem like the president is really using that as like a factor, more like the relation to the person in jail.
Well, what pardon, and this is to all of you, not, you know, what pardon, what crimes do you feel should not be eligible, even if they're at the federal level, for pardons? Because I think you mentioned that there's some crimes that just you don't need to be pardoned for.
Yeah, like sexual crimes.
Yeah. Any like intentional crime. I mean, like, if you know you're doing it in the moment, sexual crimes.
That's the biggest one, I think. Definitely.
Like, you're not going to get pardoned for armed robbery. Like, you know you're doing it. Nobody's like influencing you to do that. But like, maybe if you went to jail for like accidentally hitting somebody with your car, like that could be an accident. But like, I mean, if it's like on purpose, I mean, like if you're going in for premeditated murder, you shouldn't be pardoned for that, because you already know you're doing it. Pardon is like an act of mercy. So these people shouldn't get any mercy.
I think also acts of crime that hurt one or more people, other people, shouldn't be pardoned at some extent. So like evading taxes, that's not going to personally hurt or damage someone else, you know?
Right. Yeah, I feel you. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just like what Zeus said, like violent crimes, such as like murder, like assault, or like even hitting a police officer. Those should not be pardoned, because that's an intentional like assault on someone.
Mm-hmm. What about rehabilitation and community impact? Should pardons focus on rehabilitation? Should they focus on community impact?
I think, yeah, because it shows that someone has grown in personally with their values, their community values have grown, and it shows that they have changed and aren't as much of a criminal anymore and have more chances to get like pardoned. Yeah.
Okay. Other comments? How do you feel? Where do you sit? Is rehabilitation a variable? Should pardons focus on those who have been rehabilitated? And can you be rehabilitated?
Yeah, I think when someone makes the effort to change their lives around and become like a better person, instead of just saying sorry, I think their actions speak better than words.
Okay. How do the rest of you feel? It's kind of quiet. I'm not hearing where you're coming from. as far as is rehab? We're looking at pardons. What are the conditions? The question is, you know, should we focus on those who have been rehabilitated? Can people be rehabilitated? What about the community impact?
I mean, definitely they could be rehabilitated, but obviously, just as like, you know, Zeus was saying before, if they did something like murder or if they did like sexual crimes,
okay.
I mean, it gets to a point, you know, like I get like certain stuff that like nobody was really injured, nobody was hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, they learned from their mistakes. But if you like did something, that's why I think I was saying like, I think the biggest one was definitely sexual crimes, because like mm-hmm. That's kind of something that like, it's just so extreme that like, I don't think that you should be rehabilitated. You don't deserve rehabilitation. Okay. Is not like something that you should just get. Like, you know, you should definitely still deserve to be rehabilitated.
Hold your thought. We'll come back to rehabilitation. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and contributors, and not necessarily those of WFSU Public Media.
Today I'm talking with the Gen Z Lens team, and we are looking at presidential pardons. Before we went on break, we were talking about the impact of rehabilitation and community impact. You know, and you all were saying that you think that, you know, depends on the crime. Well, it's a debate. It's a professional debate. But some say those folks who engage in pedophilia, those folks who have been sexually inappropriate with children, cannot be rehabilitated. I mean, that's just something to throw out there. That they, some psychologists, psychiatrists say they cannot be rehabilitated. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's just something to think about. How do these decisions, though, how do they affect how you young people look at accountability?
Could you repeat the question?
Well, we're looking at these decisions on pardons. And my question to you is, when a president pardons these folks, okay, for whatever it was, we haven't decided, but when they're pardoned, does it impact how you look at accountability? Is the president accountable for what he has done, for his pardoning of these individuals? What message does it send?
I think that the president is accountable for their pardon.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, for example, I saw something where a lot of the January 6th criminals who were pardoned by our current president became committed other crimes after, and some more serious crimes. And I think there was a high rate of them who did. And I think that the president is accountable for that, because it shows that maybe the pardon wasn't deserved, and the pardon, instead of being something that should help our community, it further hurt our community.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say, like, when young people see pardons being given away, just it seems unfair. Like, for example, like some people, like, the kids might think just because other people are doing it that, like, I can do it and get away for free.
Mm-hmm.
Just a pardon.
Okay. Does issuing a pardon to political supporters create long-term consequences? I mean, do you feel like presidents should explain their reasoning publicly in detail as to why they are pardoning this person?
Yeah, I think they should, because that would, like, show that they are pardoning that person for the right reasons and not just pardoning them because they are of the same political party. Or like, for example, with the January 6th rioters, that the president should have explained why he was pardoning them. And I think that would have cleared up more if he was like pardoning them just because they were of his party and of his thinking, or because they were like deserved the pardon. And we won't, we'll, I mean, we're left to think whatever we want to think because there were, there was no explanation given. And I think that that's a problem. Yeah.
Okay. Where do you all, the rest of you, sit on this? Do you think that's a problem? You think that he can just pardon whoever he wants and move on? I mean, because to a degree, that's what happened, even though we talked, said we didn't agree with mass pardons. But that's sort of what happened with the January 6th pardons. Would you classify those as mass pardons?
I feel like, yeah, it definitely be classified as mass pardons. But he, I think Trump definitely had some influence on the people in the January 6th event, and he didn't take accountability for how he influenced their actions. And I think by pardoning them, he's just trying to let them go because he feels like it's his fault. And but he never explained that to the public because he doesn't want to take accountability for it. And I think that's just the case here.
That's just, okay. All right. You all agree with that? Anybody differ?
I agree, but I also think that the writers themselves are greatly accountable because just because someone that they look up to says something and tells them to do something, they shouldn't do it. Especially that it was like threatening the democracy of our country, and they are in part accountable too. So like, if someone says to me like, go do something bad, and I do something bad, it's that person's fault, but it's also my person's fault, my fault too.
Well, but it wouldn't be just someone. Now, I mean, because he was the president, so that was somewhat of influence and power and statue, I guess they say, that told you to do it. Yes. Whereas, you know, if a friend, neighbor tells you to do something, then that's a whole different scene. Wouldn't you agree? What role does served time play in forgiveness? I mean, if somebody has a sentence of 20 years and they've served five, what does that, what role does that play in forgiveness? Or does it play a role at all? I don't know.
Well, usually the way that prisons work is that they have rehabilitation programs. So a big part of it, I think what I was actually just saying earlier, is that like a way of like proving rehabilitation is actually just, you know, doing well in those programs. And that's actually why a lot of people on like, you know, like drug related charges or like tax evasion get released early because they've proved that, you know, they have, you know, rehabilitated, they've done well in the programs, they've, you know, adjusted well. And that's kind of, you know, not even at the pardon scale, just, you know, at like the local scale, that's how it works, you know, as well.
Okay. Should public figures be held to a higher standard or given more grace?
I think they should be held to a higher standard and not be given more grace because there's a lot of people put trust in these figures to, and so if this trust is broken, I think there should be higher consequences because, I mean, it hurts a wider group of people. And I think to be put in a position like this, then they should be more accountable, you know, because they have a bigger duty to people.
I think it's tricky because like public figures, like politicians or like celebrities, are often held to a higher standard because like people look up to them, and their actions can affect all the people who look up to them. Like, if they, this person likes a celebrity and that celebrity does something bad and gets away with it, then maybe they'll think everyone can get away with it.
Mm-hmm. It sends the wrong message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Hear from the rest of you.
I guess they shouldn't be held to, they should be held to a higher standard, because most of them are media trained and they know what's right and they know what's wrong. I mean, they should represent themselves, and they should know if they don't want to ruin their reputation, then like everybody's gonna see if they get in trouble, and they I think celebrities know that, so they should put more thought into what they do, and should not be given more grace. They should know better than.
Okay. Other comments?
So I think that definitely the way that celebrities kind of go, especially like nowadays with like the whole release of like the Epstein files, I guess they're not really being, I think at least now, they're not really being as, for this specific thing, because this is like the main one I can think of, okay. They're not being held as accountable as, you know, they should be. And it's definitely something that, you know, should be changed. It's also, it seems like the public cares more. Like, what I mean by accountable is like a lot of these people, like, you know, their public careers are kind of getting ruined. Actually, you know, for example, I do robotics, and the founder of our robotics organization, like not like the one I do it, like just like the whole league was actually found on the Epstein files. And so consequently, he, you know, was removed by his company. Like my friends who do robotics, they just all make fun of him. It's stuff like that. Like the public, the public definitely doesn't like just kind of think this is okay. But I think it's more people in power who are kind of letting it slide.
And I think you've kind of referred to this a little bit, but I just want to ask you this question clearly. Should there be an independent review board, say, rather than presidential discretion when it comes to pardons? Do you think that that would correct some of the discrepancies that we are seeing in the pardon power? If there's an independent review board that's not appointed by the president.
Yeah, I think that would further uphold the constitutional value of checks and balances. And I think this would be a great idea to make sure that pardons are done for the right reasons and not just because of political reasons or other bad reasons, you know.
Okay. How's everyone else feel about this? Zeus? Arnav? Do we need an independent review board or what?
I think I just have a pretty similar idea about it as Simon. So
okay. All right. Well, let's say if a community, a group of people, whatever, disagrees with presidential pardons, what tools do, and you got to think about this now, do citizens have to correct this? How can it be addressed? And I'm going to give you some things you might think about. I mean, I guess there's voting, you know, there's advocacy, you can do advocacy work, there's legislation. What tools do you see as maybe being influential when one is disagreeing with this presidential pardon power? How do we change it? Okay, I know it's in the Constitution, but it seems like, you know, it doesn't matter what's in the Constitution or not. How do we change that if we find that folks do not agree with this?
I think the review board, a non-biased, non-politically or like evenly biased board would be a great idea. And I think people would trust this board to check the presidential pardon power of the president. And yeah.
Okay.
I think that would be a good idea to limit
And even if you agree, I'd like to hear you say, well, I agree or disagree, because I don't know, we don't hear you. We don't know where you're sitting on this.
I agree.
And why do you agree?
I think it would help with, like, using our voices to speak out on, like, the corruption stuff. Mm-hmm.
Great. Would this type of, how does this situation influence your trust of the government? Does it increase your trust or does it decrease your trust? I think what I hear you saying is that maybe the pardon power should be reformed. And tell me if I'm incorrect and I'm, you know, stating this incorrectly. But what I hear you saying is that we need to maybe readdress this, because where do you sit as far as the trust of the government?
I think that the one of the most, like, prevalent these days reason that they should be reformed presidential powers is what happened with the January 6th rioters. People who posed a threat to the nation's democracy, who posed a threat to the guards of the Capitol, and they were almost all pardoned by our president.
Mm-hmm.
And the president could do whatever he wanted with the pardons. He had no one to stop him from doing it. And this shows a big flaw in the pardon system. And that's why I think that the pardoning system should be changed.
Yeah, I think it should be reformed too, because when I hear all these pardons, it makes me think that they're not really taking these crimes seriously.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with them. I think it like decreased my trust with the government, just because it like, I've already said this a few times, but you shouldn't just get out of jail for free card just because mm-hmm. of the, because you're famous or you have a lot of money or you're friends with the government.
Okay. That's good. Well, go right ahead.
Okay, I was just about to say, I think there should be a reform in the pardon system. Like, I like the legislative, or what's it called? Mm-hmm. Like the House, it's definitely slanted towards a more like Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot more representatives on the Republican side of things, and there's not really enough balance in it, and Trump's kind of taking advantage of that and using it to his advantage to abuse the powers that he has.
Well, I want to tap into a question. We only have a minute, but I would like to hear how some of you feel. As young people, and you all got to take this seriously, you're going to inherit these institutions, okay? What do you think your generation needs to do about power and law and accountability, given where we sit? Because you're going to inherit it and you're going to have to deal with it.
I think, obviously, I mean, I don't think just, you know, just the five of us on this call can exactly like change all of this ourselves. But as a generation, I think something that would be better is to, especially like the ones who want to go into power, the ones who are aspiring politicians, it's definitely, I think, would be better if, you know, if they don't like take advantage mm-hmm. of different powers, because as you know, this is like, you know, the way that like the power gets taken advantage of and it's, you know, used against the other political party, it's really inefficient, you know? It's
yep. like the And the, I gotta cut you off. Now you're talking and I gotta cut you off, but it's because it's time out for this edition of 411 Team. Many thanks to the Gen Z student producers and panelists. Today we explored one of the most powerful tools in the presidency, the pardon. To my listening audience, much appreciation for the privilege of your time and ear. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. The 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistance provided by Taylor Cox. If you would like to participate in the 411 team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 850-645-7200. You can listen to previous episodes of 411 team at wfsu.org.